The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." But the Lord said in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need for only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Everybody is familiar with Martha and Mary. Even though they have a very, very small place in the scriptures. So let me speak for a few moments about the background of Martha and Mary and the teaching from this gospel reading, and then perhaps what we might do in response to it. Martha and Mary live in Bethany. We only know that from the Gospel of John. Martha and Mary are mentioned only two places in all four Gospels. There is no mention of them in Mark or in Matthew. But in Luke, here in chapter 10, they appear, and also in chapter 11 in the Gospel of John. And you'll remember that story, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. That's in the Gospel of John and only in John. This one is only in Luke. Bethany is a very small village, less than 3,000 people. It's only 3 miles from Jerusalem. A Palestinian, mostly Muslim town. And years and years ago, in our pilgrims over there, we would go to Bethany. But about 20 years ago, the Israelis built the wall separating the West Bank from the State of Israel, and the West Bank includes Bethany. And now it's awkward, it's difficult to get there. So in recent years, our pilgrims have not gone to Bethany. What's interesting about Martha and Mary, it would appear that Martha is in charge. It's her home. Even though she has a brother, Lazarus, and in the culture of the time, the Semitic culture, the house would always be named after the man. But in this case, it's Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Much discussion about this in the scriptures. And there's a minority opinion that's attractive, held by James Martin, who wrote a recent book, Lazarus Come Forth, that claim that the reason for this is that Lazarus was a special needs person, and therefore Martha was taking care of him. And that's the manner in which they account for Martha being in charge and it's being her home. That's about all the background we need on this. So let me look at the teaching. We have a busy Martha, and we have a Mary who is listening. I think it's about prayer. I'd like to speak about Martha and Mary in terms of an experience of prayer. While Martha is busy about many things, Mary is contemplative. She's reflective. She gives time to the Lord. She goes into the presence of Jesus Christ and she listens. It's the prayer of listening. Let me tell you what that means. When I was 25 years old, I was just 1 year a priest, working down on Skid Row at 2nd and Main. I did a retreat with Fulton Sheen. Archbishop Fulton Sheen was a celebrated, he was an extraordinary person, brilliant preacher, highly educated fellow. He had a weekly program on TV which was syndicated, was national. Very famous man. And I had the privilege of spending a week with Fulton Sheen while he was directing a retreat. And one of the things he emphasized was priests must do a holy hour every day. Well, that's asking a lot for a busy priest. But he said, that's necessary. And I remembered that right through the seminary and in every retreat I've ever gone to, or any spiritual director ever giving direction, will emphasize the fact that the priest must have a life of prayer. In a way that contradicts the busy life of the priest. I was a young priest, and after Fulton Sheen, holy hour every day, I did a holy hour every day for about 2 weeks. That's about as long as it lasted. Because I was busy. I was doing many things. I didn't have time for the holy hour. Well, I did Mass every day. I said my morning prayer. I said my evening prayer. And that was enough. That kept me going. 5 years later, in some mysterious divine providence, I was Cardinal Manning's secretary. Cardinal Manning was not an administrator, never raised a dime in his life. He was a spiritual man, a scholar, a deep, deep person. And Cardinal Manning did a holy hour every day. Well, since I was spending most of my waking hours with him, I could scarcely say, well, you do the holy hour, I'll watch the football game, I'll see you later. So I felt obliged, with some hesitant spirit, I must say, to do a holy hour with him every day. It became part of our lifestyle. We traveled half the world. We were together all the time. But the holy hour every day was sacred space of listening and dedication to the Lord. And so it became part of a lifestyle, which I still engage in a holy hour every day, since it became part of a pattern of life, that there must be prayer in the life of the priest, and there must be prayer in the life of everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. So let me explain this a little to you. I write journals all the time, and here is one of my favorite books, and here is a journal which I wrote. Calm waters look that way only by comparison. Otherwise, how would I know calm? Moving from peace to turmoil, wholeness to brokenness, illusion to disillusion, fullness to emptiness, so the cycle of surrender is in motion. And my prayer is a statement of faith that mystery is there. I cannot control the energies of life. I have to surrender to the reality beyond, to learn ease with uncertainty, to be content with powerlessness, to be perfectly unsure of the future. I was relishing a surreal wholeness, the guarantee not that God will supply, but has already done so. And therefore, I was living in the abundance of unappreciated grace, and darkness came. Humanity, the unwelcome visitor. And I have to look again in helpless prayer and know that God speaks at all times, good and bad. And now in darkness, I see what I could not see in light. I hear what can only be heard in silence. And that's the prayer of Mary. So what does it mean to us? Here's what I want to suggest. That out of your busy day, you have time for many things. Take 10 minutes out of your day, and merely 10 minutes from a whole day. Don't do it at night because you'll fall asleep. Take 10 minutes out of your day in prime time when you're at your best. Shut the world out. Be alone, be silent, and be still. Close your eyes and you will see in darkness what you could not see in light. Listen. Listen with your whole person. Not just with your ears, but listen to with your emotions. Listen with the wholeness of who you are. Listen, and you will hear the voice of God. It's the prayer of listening. It's the prayer of belonging. It's the prayer of Mary, in contrast to Martha, who is busy about many things, but neglects to listen to the person of Jesus Christ. Think about it. 10 minutes out of your day. I know it'll last a week, maybe 2 weeks. It's like me in my holy hour at the beginning. Dedicate 10 minutes a day to the Lord, alone in God's presence. Close your eyes in darkness and you will see with your whole person what you couldn't see in light. And in silence, you will hear the voice of God in a way you could never hear in noise. Amen.